It's a Monday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Make sure to follow Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts for episodes every day, Monday through Friday. Coming up, Dieter Kurtenbach and I break down the Warriors' win over the Grizzlies and the Warriors' chances as the number 8 seed. The NBA playoffs are almost here. Don't miss the big storylines and team previews you can find every day on the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here with Dieter Kurtenbach, my colleague at the Bay Area News Group. We are here at Chase Center where the Warriors just beat the Grizzlies 113-101 behind a vintage performance from Steph Curry and Draymond Green to clinch the number 8 seed. Dieter, you and I, we were talking before the game started, and we kind of were discussing like the keys that the Warriors needed to do. Don't get into too much foul trouble. Don't let them out-rebound you by a wide margin. Get a huge game from Steph Curry, and don't let Jonas Valanciunas on Memphis destroy you. They basically hit all those notes.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that you could say they maybe didn't do, early goings, Memphis had a great game plan. They were very clear about what they wanted to do. They put Dylan Brooks on Steph, and they attacked on both ends against Steph Curry, and then they were pounding it in the post with Valanciunas. So Valanciunas had a really good game. He had 29 points. He shot incredibly effectively. He got a bunch of putbacks. It just doesn't matter when you're going up against Steph Curry, right, doing Steph Curry stuff, even with a pretty bad first part of the first quarter from Steph Curry. It took him a while to break through. Once he did, it was pretty clear that the floodgates are open, and Memphis just couldn't keep up with them. They looked gassed by the end of the game. That was the biggest takeaway I had, and Curry's cardio game unmatched. 100 out of 100 on the sliders.
Even better than Draymond's Peloton.
Man, Draymond, we got to mention that Draymond's cardio has gotten incredible here in the last
38
couple
minutes
of months
for him.
Yeah, he was outstanding. But this is what you expect from Draymond.
Yeah.
The question I think going in was, what would we expect from Curry? Naturally, you expect these great moments from Curry. But hey, man, playoff performances, we've seen the Warriors in the past kind of try to funnel everything through Curry, and it doesn't work that great. Mm-hmm. He tries to force stuff up. He can't make things happen. So when Steve Kerr says, hey, this is the best we've ever seen Steph Curry play, I believe him, because this was a playoff game.
Yeah.
And Memphis is not some juggernaut team or anything. They're not a true title contender, but neither are the Warriors. And Curry was able to come through in the biggest way. I mean, it's not like he just got 30 on 22 three-point attempts. He got 46.
They needed those 46. Had it been just a 30-point game from
right,
from Steph, the Warriors lose this game. They almost lost this game. They gave up seven. They gave up a 17-point lead in the second half, but and the Grizzlies battled back, and Steph hit three straight three-pointers. Bam, bam, bam. That uncoincidentally came right after Draymond Green's huge, savvy veteran flop.
Unbelievable.
To get Dylan Brooks fouled out. But Steph scored 33 of his points in that second half. He only had 13 at halftime, and so they needed all of them.
The craziest thing that I saw, and there was a ton of stats that kind of came out today, right?
Yeah.
Like, Steph is the first guy to do this since Wilt and MJ and Kareem and all this stuff. The last one that came in, it was, this is his 30-point game or whatever. The last one that came in was that this was Curry's sixth 30-point half of the season, which blows my mind. He's had 15 in his career, and it's Steph Curry. Nobody in the league goes on flurries better than Steph Curry. I mean,
right,
it's a Curry flurry. That is the name of the thing. Nobody puts up buckets in bunches the way that he does, and he is doing it at a level that he's never done it before. And they need it. That's the other thing, too, and we've alluded to it, but let's just lay it out what it is. This team stinks without Steph Curry. We saw it last year. Ostensibly, the only thing that's changed from last year to this year, other than Andrew Wiggins is a better player than D'Angelo Russell, and I'll take you to the grave with that one, is that Steph Curry is on this team. And this team is now, winner of six straight games. They're going to play either, as we talk, the Lakers or the Blazers on Wednesday night in a winner goes to the playoff game. Like, this is not a bad basketball team.
No.
They're not going to win a title, but they're not a bad basketball team.
I mean, it's an easy blueprint, right? Not an easy blueprint,
right,
but it's a simple blueprint to discuss. It's top five defense and defensive ratings. Steph takes care of it on offense when we need him to.
Mm-hmm.
And there are nights where he can't, and that's why this team has hovered around 500 for most of the year. But they've won six straight. They end the season winning 15 of their final 20 games. They're playing as well as anybody has. Over that span, they're number one in the league by net rating, and it's not close.
Right.
And I'm not here saying that they're the best team in the league. I agree with you. They're not going to make the finals.
No.
There's just not enough depth and stuff like that. But what we're seeing from Steph, he deserves all the credit in the world for what he's been able to do. And you just think about what he was able to do in that fourth quarter, really in the second half overall.
Right.
Dylan Brooks, I mean, Taylor Jenkins, unbelievable job. That's his
great
name, right?
Great game plan. Yeah, no, Taylor Jenkins, a man that I could not pick out of a lineup.
No, I. And he mirrored Dylan Brooks' minutes with Steph. When Steph checked in, he snapped. Dylan Brooks went in the game.
Yep.
And you know, I kind of went back a little bit after the game and just watched Dylan Brooks' defense on a lot of Steph's misses. And it was you could say, you know, sometimes you miss them, sometimes you make them. No, Dylan Brooks was making everything difficult. And you think back to a few years ago with a guy like Matthew Dellavedova, who just created fits for Steph in the finals in that series. That doesn't exist for Steph anymore. Maybe it does in the first half. Maybe he's like, this Dylan Brooks guy is annoying me. But then he'll figure it out in a way that I don't think he was ever able to figure it out to this level before. And the answer is, and the way it works out is 33 points in the second half and a win.
I think it's even beyond that, right? Like, I agree with everything you just said, but you take it even one step further. Like, he doesn't have an outlet now.
Right.
And Steph, and he talked about this in the post game, like him and Draymond have seen everything. They know what winning basketball is supposed to be. And Draymond, by the way, was spectacular in this game.
Yeah.
But that goes without saying because it was a Game 7-like atmosphere for the Golden State Warriors. That means Draymond Green is going to have an exceptional game. Like, that is just what he does. And you mentioned it, the smartest play of the game, the smartest play of the season, just running into Dylan Brooks and flopping all over him and just saying, there's your sixth foul.
You can see it. It happens at the top of the key with 6 minutes and 12 seconds left. Everybody, Dylan Brooks has five fouls. Steph is just like, get this guy off of me. Yeah. I am so sick of him. And Draymond just reads Steph like no other player ever has. And he's just like, I got you. And he just runs up and goes, whack, runs right into Dylan Brooks' barrel chest.
Spread out.
His 7-foot wingspan on the ground.
Incredible.
And he gets the call because he's Draymond Green. He's a star. 14 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists in the game.
But you could have convinced me that he had any number of any of those things. Yeah. You could have told me that he had 30 points in the game, that he had 19 rebounds, that he had 42 assists. Like, anything. He just was everywhere. He was immeasurably great in this contest. And him and Steph, and I wrote this months ago, and it didn't get any traction because heaven forbid I ever be right. But, like, I wrote this months ago, like, man, we look at this team, and they're counting on Jordan Poole to play critical minutes. And by the way, credit to Jordan Poole. He has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Not just since he came back from the G League bubble, but, like, as of late, he has been a winner.
Right.
Like, an absolute
15
ace.
Points on 5-9 shooting tonight.
Really, really good. And tonight they needed him.
Yeah.
He made a big three in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that he was fantastic, too. That's a big moment. Right, and obviously this is a guy who's hit a game-winning shot in the NCAA tournament, but who knows the translation there. Ultimately, what I noticed from him is, in the big moments, and I think back to all the big moments that I've been able to, you know, see the Warriors play now over these last 6-7 years, a lot of guys just stand around.
Yeah.
That's what you do. It's Steph and Draymond are going to go do their thing, and I'm just going to stand here, and I'll have to reactivate at some point within these 24 seconds, but probably not. Mm-hmm. And they stand around, and they watch the game with the rest of us. And Jordan Poole just refused to do that. And it doesn't show up in a box score. He had two offensive rebounds, one of which was very important. But he just kept moving. He just kept making things happen. He created energy in what should be a very energyless situation, and that gave Curry enough space. It created just a smidgen of space. Whereas, truth be told, Wiggins had a really nice game. Didn't see it from Wiggins.
Yeah.
Didn't see it, like Kevon Looney's out there because Valanciunas is there. Kevon Looney's just standing there like, whatever you need from me, just call it out, boys.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stand here. That's what happens, and we see, and this is everywhere in the NBA. Jordan Poole just having the wherewithal to just keep running, to just be the rover.
Yeah,
that's huge. That tells you everything you need to know about him. Because Kent Bazemore, by the way, was going to lose them that game. I predicted it in the pregame when we were talking. I said, for some reason, I think Kent Bazemore was going to lose them this game. And boy, when he was on the floor there with about, 7 to 4 minutes left in the contest, it's like, I don't know how he's doing this, but he is sabotaging this team.
He was the only player with a negative plus-minus in the game, and a lot of that was because of the 4 personal fouls, a team high. And that's been the book on Kent Bazemore, right? After two games, 17-point performance, a 19-point performance, I told you before the game, that ain't happening again. That's not Kent. He doesn't do that 3 straight games. So you're right. And you mentioned something there with Jordan Poole and then Juan Toscano-Anderson, too.
Yes.
I thought a big thing that we're going to find out tonight and in these games coming up this week is who are the dudes that you could trust in these kinds of games? And I think we found out tonight. We're going to talk about that more after this break. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that helps make hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Test that, on average, reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for the applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. So Jordan Poole, obviously he's a gamer. We figured that out. All the things that you're talking about. Juan Toscano-Anderson to me also, I mean, he was a plus 10 off the bench. Jordan Poole was a plus 11 off the bench. Michael Mulder was a plus 7 off the bench. I don't think that Mulder did those things that you were talking about. 0 for 2 overall, couldn't make a three-pointer. He had a couple of opportunities to hit like really big three-pointers that kind of would have put the stamp on it and just didn't really have that, didn't really get him to go down. But to me, I think it's a one-game thing, but it's not just the one game. It's this whole season. You saw Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano-Anderson step up in a really big way today. And I think with those two guys, and there's a reason why, by the way, Steve Kerr, he had Eric Paschal available. Gary Payton II was available tonight. He's like, no, I don't need you.
Nope.
Jordan Bell, no, thank you.
Right.
I'm going with these three. I'm going with my guys. I thought JTA and Jordan Poole proved that they could be dudes going forward.
No question. I mean, listen, they've been proving that over the last couple of games. I thought that it was very telling. You'll have to forgive me. I'm forgetting the exact game. But they closed with Poole and JTA with Draymond at the five. They've done it a couple of times.
Yeah, but the Phoenix game.
The Phoenix game.
Yeah.
There was about 6 minutes there at the end of the contest, maybe five. And that was the bulk of the time that they had played together all year. Mm-hmm. It was a total of 18 minutes now. But that's a net rating of like 27, almost 30.
Right.
With those guys on the floor. Now, if this is their death lineup, it is a slow, painful death compared to the prior iterations, right? There's no Andre Iguodala out there. There's no Kevin Durant.
Right.
But it does have some of the tenets that you're looking for. There's certainly no Klay Thompson. But again, you're tapping into some lighter versions of it, right? Juan Toscano-Anderson, much like Draymond, I don't give a damn what the box score says. It's always going to look okay.
Yeah.
Unless he's having a really rough shooting game, and I believe he airballed a three tonight. But like, he just makes winning plays, and he is so effective on defense because he can switch 1 through 5. And when you get two guys on the Warriors with Draymond and him switching 1 through 5, that opens up a world of possibilities for them on the defensive end, and it makes Draymond go to a whole other level because now he doesn't have to guard both sides of the floor at the same time. And with with Jordan Poole.
Well, quick point on JTA. It's one thing to say, hey, he can guard 1 through 5, and you're absolutely right. But then there's another level of it where you're guarding 1 through 5, and like the signature of a guy who can guard 1 through 5 is that they're athletic and rangy and things. And what we see from Draymond is, he's guarding 1 through 5, not just because he's bodying up centers, which he can do, because he's breaking up plays before they even get into them. You see that all the time, that anticipation that Draymond has. Juan Toscano-Anderson is not obviously at that level, but he's got elements of that. There's a little bit of that to his game. And so when you have he's breaking up things. I mean, he had 2 steals in the game. Yeah. Draymond had a steal and 2 blocks in the game.
God, Draymond was awesome.
He was so good. That's that stuff, you know, that's that stuff that gets that stops possessions, gets the Warriors in transition, and they both have such a knack for finding Steph. I mean, Draymond, obviously, but it is remarkable. Juan Toscano-Anderson played 13 games last year, one of which were with Steph. It was a weird Toronto game, and I don't even count that. Who cares?
No.
He is learning to play with Steph right now on a two-way, for most of the season on a two-way contract.
Right.
And it is remarkable how quickly he picked it up, because I've told you, I've said this to you in the past.
Yeah.
Steph is one of the best teammates in the league, but he's one of the hardest guys to play with.
No question.
Because of the way he plays.
So fast.
And Juan just, again, remarkable how he figured it out. You can't teach that. Obviously, we've learned that from some of the other players on this roster.
Unbelievable,
He's done the best job of that.
It speaks to being able to do some film study. Juan Toscano Anderson has been watching Steph Curry for a long time. Like, deeply, he cares about this team. So he understands what makes Curry great, and he knows sort of the way that that guy ticks. And that little, those little things, they just stick in the back of your head, and if you ever get the opportunity, make sure you do it. He's just whip smart. I mean, that's the thing. Basketball IQ was something we've talked about with this team all year long, and it was severely lacking for a long time. And a lot of that just has to do with what you just said. It's really hard to play with Steph.
Yeah.
Not that he's making it hard. It's just you got to keep up.
Yeah.
You just went from remedial to the AP course, man.
Right.
And a lot of guys, I mean, Juan Toscano Anderson, what did he ever do? Like, what has he ever done? Like, not to knock on him because he's a millionaire now and he's clearly a great professional, but like, it's one of these things where it's like, you're not getting this in the Mexican basketball league.
Well, basketball in general, I mean, Mexican league, Argentina, Venezuela,
and most of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Basketball has a certain geometry to it, and that's what makes Steph so dangerous, is that he takes your geometry, throws it in the trash, and this is what I'm doing now.
Yep.
And it's more of like an abstract thing, and now I just finally understood what Juan Toscano Anderson meant by at the end when in the press conference he said he's our generation's Picasso, and I was like, that doesn't
there
make
it
any
is.
Sense.
Lines, baby.
See, that's what he's two steps ahead of even me.
He's a brilliant player, and the offense has come around, right? Like the passing, I think he feels more comfortable throwing a little bit of flair in there.
Yeah.
I think that he's embraced sort of this quasi-drain Raymond role that he has. You mentioned with the 1-5, it's not just, you know, the X and being able to stand in front of a guy. It's also about the defense not feeling uncomfortable with said situation. And there were countless examples of this throughout the Warriors' great years, the salad days, with like Kevon Looney guarding James Harden. And normally if you're in a situation like that, if you're a team on defense, you're panicking.
Yeah.
You're trying to set up three guys so that when Harden drives past or whatever, there's someone behind it. And the Warriors, right or wrong, and it turned out to be right every time, trusted Kevon Looney to stay in front of James Harden. Let James Harden shoot. Fine. He is a volume shooter. That is not how you win in the playoffs. So they had him out there. There was a comfortability with the defense behind it, and that created a strong defensive spine that ultimately won games. With Juan Toscano Anderson out there, you can put him on the point guard, and you don't then have to put three guys behind him. You don't have to feel like everything is broken down because they got the switch that they want. Once that happens, you're not a good defensive team anymore. Now you're scrambling, and a scrambling team always loses in crunch time. Offensively, he's come around really well. I think the three-point shot is viable. It can keep him on the floor, and he's a great passer. Let's flip it to Jordan Poole.
He had a moment in that game, and you see it now more and more where – I can't remember. I think it was Jordan Poole was coming off of a screen, off of a Draymond screen, and he points to Jordan Poole to cut because he saw Steph kind of coming around, and he gets the ball to Steph, and then he does, to your point, does not stop moving. He cuts to the rim in that little area that Steph vacated under the basket. Mm-hmm. It's wide open. Steph finds him for a lob dunk. It's just, he's picking all that stuff. He's not just doing it with him, and he's pointing people in directions.
Right.
He's captaining things.
And think about how much easier that makes Draymond's life, right?
Yeah.
Like, Draymond had to do all that. Draymond was getting bogged down by having to coach everybody on the floor. And now he's a little bit more liberated, and he's capable of just doing some crazy Draymond stuff, which is just like, I'm going to abandon this play that we have, and I'm going to go steal the ball from that guy on the other side of the court because I can, because I'm three steps ahead. But with Poole, obviously the offensive game has been there. He has the three-point shot, or at least it's been there since he's come back from Orlando in the G League bubble. I was so impressed with his defense tonight, which is something that we've both noted several times here over the last couple. He's never going to be a great defender by any stretch. He's long. He can probably be an average defender, but he had a great block tonight that was initially called a foul, and they pulled it back on video review, rightly. A great challenge by Steve Kerr there, who we will eventually at some point give credit to for being a good coach. He is proving to be viable enough as an on-ball defender, and I think that he's sharp enough, or maybe he knows just enough to know what he can't do as a team defender. The closing five of Draymond, Juan Toscano Anderson, Andrew Wiggins, who had an extremely pleasant basketball game this evening.
Pleasant's good. 21 points and 9 of 16 shooting, 10 rebounds. And he's like the opposite of Draymond Green, Juan Toscano Anderson. You're like, you had that many? All right, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, a really nice
dunk. You expect more out of Draymond. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Pleasant. Like, he fills things in the middle of the game where you need it. I mean, he's like, you know, he's not the lead single on an album, but he's like those necessary, like, deep tracks.
But, and it's a great analogy, but I mean,
it's
you
an
can
okay
take,
one.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We're in person. I have to be nicer than usual. And so, and then you get Poole and Steph. We know what Steph is. He's one of a kind, once in a generation, once in the history of the sport, whatever. Poole's three-pointer, though, in this game. Not the block was really good. That's just a sign of how far he's come as a defender. His three-pointer in the corner, the Warriors were drowning. They were drowning because we got down into ball-busting time. Mm-hmm. And in ball-busting time, again, as I said, most of the guys are just looking around and waiting for the superstar player to take over because they don't want any of that smoke. And even with Draymond and Juan Toscano-Anderson, they're not getting the smoke. That's not what they do.
Right.
That's Kevin Durant time. That's Steph Curry time. That's, you know, the great players show up in those great moments. Ja Morant tried to take over during that period of time. Didn't work out so hot. But Jordan Poole thinks that he's of that caliber.
Yeah.
And you know what? You have to have another guy like that.
You need to. You have to have an irrational confidence guy. And for him, it's becoming less and less irrational at this point. I mentioned Mulder. Michael Mulder had those opportunities. He didn't make them. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to knock Michael Mulder, but it's for comparison's sake.
Yeah.
Jordan Poole's knocking down those shots. And you mentioned at Michigan, he had a huge game winner. I went back and looked at high school. He had a huge game winner to win the state championship or send the team to the state championship or something like that. I mean, it's in his blood. That stuff matters.
It does.
You know, and he's obviously got that element to his game. We have spent a lot of time complimenting the Warriors, but I think in this next segment, you and I are going to talk about some concerns that we have for their matchup on Wednesday. That's coming up after the break. Support for the show comes from Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA is making the playoff push, and the NHL season and Major League Baseball are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds, and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all of the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. But unlike most protein bars, it actually tastes good, and it's good for you. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great if you're on the keto or other low-carb diet. They have 9 different flavors available now, and they're always creating and releasing new, exciting flavors. Built Bar has been with us for a long time, and I've been eating Built Bars for a long time, usually in the late afternoon between lunch and dinner. It's a good way to give me the boost I need to finish up my workday. And like I said, Built Bar has been friends of the show for almost a year now, and we appreciate the partnership that we've built. So support the show by supporting those who support us. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Dieter, closing out this Monday episode of the podcast, recording this on a Sunday night. We don't yet know who the Warriors will play. It's going to be either
the Lakers, or the
Trailblazers on Wednesday. We talked a little bit before the game started. We have concerns regardless of the opponent. With the Lakers, the concern, I think, is obvious. They are really good. LeBron and Anthony Davis are fine, it appears. And if they are fine, then the Warriors, they're as good as they have played over the last 20 games, they are not as good as the Lakers at full strength.
Anthony Davis plays the 5 for 20 minutes in that game, and the Warriors are annihilated.
Right.
And then we get to do this all over again in a couple of days after that. We've both seen the Warriors beat the Lakers this year. I'm not as high on the Lakers in general as a lot of people are, but LeBron James and Anthony Davis with a team that has an identity, they know what they're about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is so oxymoronic, or it's just downright ironic, that the LA Lakers are predicated on like great stymieing defense and like rebounding and like punching dudes in the chest and getting away with it. Like that's some Detroit basketball right there.
That's a good analogy. I like that one. I mean, like what they're gonna do is like, look, they don't even have a guy like Dylan Brooks on their team who's gonna chase Steph around. Like, they could put a Caruso on him or even a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They'll rotate bodies. But what's so damaging about that defense and specifically that matchup with Steph is what has made Steph so great this year is not just the 3-point shooting. That's what he draws you in. This is what I wrote this the other day.
Yes.
That's the first thing on the scouting report, and then he smacks you with all the stuff that he does in the lane and getting to the basket. And that's the stuff that a lot of guys are still just learning, that Steph can do this at an elite level because he's never done it this way.
66% in the restricted area.
Unbelievable.
This year. It's
those
above
are center
50%
numbers.
50% on 2-pointers.
Center numbers. I mean,
it's wild.
Yeah. That doesn't happen against the Lakers. They take that away because they have limbs and bodies that are just packing the paint. So now you, weirdly enough, you take that away from Steph on this team where there is no outlet.
Yeah.
Now you're asking him to do it all from three-point range, and when that's the case, now you've got now he's facing double teams coming across half court.
Yeah,
and that's going to be the tough thing. I'm not saying it's completely, it's going to solve Steph, and that's not what I'm saying.
No,
it's just something that's going to give him some trouble. And if he can't snap it and figure it out the way he did tonight against Memphis, and he only scores 30 versus 46,
right?
Well, that's the recipe for a loss.
Yeah, and that this is the only reason that you would say the Warriors would have a chance if that circumstance comes to pass, and I would expect it to come to pass, is because of Draymond.
Yeah.
And because him and Draymond have a 1-2 game that I can't remember anything quite like it. And if Steph is going to have to relocate four times in order to get an open look, as opposed to today when he had to relocate twice early and then eventually it turned out to be never had to relocate, he could just take dudes on one-on-one or split double, triple teams with a dribble and a shimmy. Because him and Draymond have it, and we saw it a couple times down the stretch, obviously, in this contest, I don't want to count it out.
Right.
I just don't want to count it out. But, you know, you said because he doesn't have that second outlet. Yeah, well, Draymond can't have a bad offensive game shooting, and he's going to have to take shots. They're just not going to guard him on the perimeter. Kevon Looney needs to continue to knock down ridiculous turnaround jumpers on the baseline as he did in this contest. And you need so much more from Jordan Poole. He was great. He was great. Everything he did was wonderful.
Yeah.
He needs to double it.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, you need one of Poole or Wiggins, essentially,
right,
to have a statement type game.
If Wiggins goes out and did what he did a couple of games ago, then the Warriors absolutely can win. But they're also going to have a really tough time. And this is the thing that we were talking about pregame, and it needs to be alluded to again before they play anybody. This goes for the Blazers. This particularly goes for the Lakers and their size and their ability to just clog up the middle and just strength their strong team. They're going to live at the free throw line.
Yeah.
And this team is running an 8-man rotation. Fouls are everything. Fouls are everything. Draymond cannot have two early fouls. Mm-hmm. You cannot have him with three fouls in the second quarter and you're wondering what's going to happen. Wiggins cannot get into – there is not a player on this team who can get into foul trouble. Not a one.
No.
Not any single member of the eight-man rotation.
Because then you're asking who? Gary Payton, who can't do things on offense.
Nope.
Eric Paschal, who can't do things on defense.
Nope.
Jordan Bell.
You get a grand total of – 200 seconds out of anybody on that bench who didn't play today.
Right.
If you have to play more than 200 seconds, you're cooked.
Mm-hmm.
That just means that it's over for you.
And
because
the thing,
it's not like they just have like size sitting on the bench. It's not like they have Joakim Noah just sitting around waiting for his chance.
Yeah, people are acting like Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell is like some size guy. He's 6'8" and has never been a good rebounder.
Jordan Bell and I are the same height. Now, he can jump very high.
That's
so
true.
That is the difference there.
And maybe what you could do with Jordan Bell is you throw him out there and just have him have some quick fouls, but then you're putting them on the line if like that's what you're at. It's you're
playoff,
right.
Playoff games are won in the bonus.
Yeah.
And it did not come to fruition because Memphis didn't have I don't think they had the stamina to keep up with what they wanted to do. And Draymond and the crowd got together and decided that they wanted to flip the energy of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it very difficult for Ja Morant, who wants to play like a kamikaze pilot out there. Made him very difficult for him to continue to execute the game plan, which is just feed Valanciunas or Brooks in the post. That's what they wanted to do, and eventually Ja's ego kind of got in the way. Can't blame him. Great player. He'll learn, but he doesn't play a controlled brand of basketball.
And he's young, and this is why I ultimately thought that the Warriors were going to win this game. I don't think that they're more talented. I think they have higher-end talent, but I think Memphis is much deeper. I mean, it was just you're bringing Brandon Clark off the bench now, or you're bringing this guy off the bench now? It's just every time
I like their future. I think they're going to be really interesting.
But they're very inexperienced, to your point, and this is a playoff game for all intents and purposes. And the Warriors, Steph, Draymond, Kevon Looney, Steve Kerr, they have that experience. They know how to focus on the game plan in crunch time. The Lakers have that.
Yeah.
And Portland has that, right?
Yeah, I don't know about Portland.
They have the playoff experience.
They've been there.
More experience than Memphis.
No doubt about that.
So if it's the difference between Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks versus Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, that could be a problem. Enes Kanter for them provides a lot of the same issues that Jonas Valanciunas presented them tonight.
Drummond and Enes Kanter are going to have just make yourself some money games in this playing contest.
So definitely some concerns with Wednesday's game. I think you and I, if we're going to, for the sake of predictions, 3 days away from the actual game, I don't expect the Warriors to win Wednesday. I think they obviously have a chance.
Yeah.
But if Memphis losing, they go into the 9-10 matchup against San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
They'll beat San Antonio. And we could, like you said, we could have deja vu on Friday with these two teams here back at Chase Center.
I would expect, if it is the Blazers, the Warriors to win. They have their number. Draymond Green does not lose to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Right.
It just is what it is. I could give you deeper analysis, but really it doesn't. It's not necessary. I'm wasting everybody's time. If it's the Lakers, I would expect the Lakers to be about 8.5-point favorites going into that game,
yeah.
And I would expect them to cover. And I would expect to probably be back here on Friday talking about the same matchup, and I think that that game will be closer than this one.
Yeah.
I 46 is a lot of points, and I don't know if the Warriors cracked a code as much as it is the Grizzlies just cracked.
Yeah.
And maybe, a couple days off before they got to play again. They'll have to travel. So that's a thing. The Warriors' worst-case scenario, they're only traveling between Portland and L.A. I did that as a commute for several years, so it's not as if that's the craziest thing in the world. Nice hotels in both areas as well. So it's one of these things where we will find out, but it's very evident, and I'm so happy to have seen it again, just on a personal level. Playoff basketball is a different sport,
man.
And it is so much better.
So much better.
It is so much better. And it was great today.
We should at least give passing mention to the fact that Steph Curry won the scoring title tonight. He needed 3 points. Took him a minute. He didn't score until 3 minutes left in the first quarter, but he got it.
Doesn't that speak to, though, like Kerr and Draymond and Curry? Like, they've been in this for so long. They've seen everything. Like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, man, we're about 7 minutes in here. Am I going to have to write a thing about how he's having, like, if he has a bad game, I don't know.
I was thinking about takes, like, the worst thing that could have happened to the Warriors was Steph in the scoring title race because they got in his head. I had all these takes going through my head.
You should have thrown that my way. That feels more of my speed. But yeah, there's a patience to what these guys do. And they probably don't have a lot of room for patience. And I guess it helps that there's not too much tinkering that Steve Kerr can do with an 8-man rotation. Like, here are the lineups. We'll find out if it works or not. Whereas in the past, it's like, here are some random dudes that you haven't heard of and Steve overthinking it. Nevertheless, like, he's unbelievable. I mean, this was the year. Just think about the scrubs. We're talking these guys up. We really are. And we're very high on a lot of these guys. But, like, he's playing a lot of minutes with a guy who was on a two-way contract all year. He's playing minutes with Nico Mannion. Like, he's out there with James Wiseman, not knowing what he's supposed to be doing at any given moment because he's a child playing in the NBA. And, like, it's apparently like a Tom Hanks big situation where he got the body at the final minute. Let's just call it out. I mean, it's an exaggeration, but in most arguments there is some exaggeration. He had no help this year. And this is the narrative around him from anyone who naysays, and I'm certainly not one of those people, is that he can't do it if he doesn't have the spacing, if he doesn't have Clay on his wing, that he is a byproduct of the system and all this. I don't see any system other than Steph, please go score as many points as possible, man. And Steph is the system.
He is the system.
And what he did this season should shut everyone the hell up about Steph Curry forever. I don't need you to all get on my level where Steph Curry is one of the five most important people in the history of sport. Like, I don't need you to get to that level of crazy. I think that in 20 years we'll understand what he actually meant, and I think that we're dramatically underrating him right now, even amid all of this nonsense platitude that I'm throwing out there.
Yeah.
But this year, you all need to shut up.
He's done it the way that people had wanted to see him do it. With the isolation, with the pick and roll, all that stuff. He's done it. There you go. Now
he's fighting every force.
And it's probably not, and as we're seeing right now, it'd be nice if he had some help. And I think now everybody's going the other way. Like, man, it would have been great if he had some help. Well, the last 5 years you were asking him to just do it all himself. Now I need some help.
It's true, but you can see so many little things where, especially in these last six games, you can see so many little things with the closing lineup kind of establishing itself, with Poole's confidence and what that does for Steph in late-game situations, with what Juan Toscano-Anderson is capable of doing next to Draymond, with Wiggins kind of breaking out a little bit, giving us maybe 5% more here.
Well, you got Draymond talking to Wiggins like, hey, do something right now, and Wiggins is like, oh, all right, and then he goes and does it. And I think what my takeaway from exactly what you're talking about is that's the blueprint.
Yes.
Because next year, instead of Kent Bazemore, it's Klay Thompson, presumably.
Yes. Oh,
and I would imagine that it's probably not Michael Mulder, but maybe another six-man type, a floor spacer, somebody who can make some shots. And if that's the case, a rangy defender, if that's the case, Look, I'm not saying that the Warriors are going to go win another title, but they're going to be a lot better than they are right now, and they're not going to be fighting for the eighth seed. They'll be a legit playoff team in the West.
There's a very legitimate thing that we're going to have a conversation about this offseason, and there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen between now and the start of next season. It's the NBA. It's constant chaos. But the Warriors are in a position where it looks like they have a foundation again. The foundation is Stephen Curry, and he has pieces around him that know what to do next to him.
Right.
I don't know if they're helping, but they're not in the way anymore.
Right.
Because they were literally in the way at the beginning of the season. They have that going for them. There's a lot of things that need to happen, of course, but you look at the number one and the number two seed in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. Everyone understands that the Clippers and the Lakers have that upside potential, that they should be the favorites out of the West because they have the superstars in a superstar league in the superstar moments, which are the playoffs. But looking at what the Warriors have now and what they're able to do with Steph now with an eight-man rotation, you're telling me Klay Thompson's coming back? 50% of Klay Thompson is fine.
Yeah.
You're telling me that they're going to get another kid? Who knows? We won't even bring up the other kid because that is an elephant in the room.
Right.
They might be able to maybe move the other kid for a lesser player than they could have gotten before the kid showed up, but that's not important either. Like, they're going to add. They're going to augment. They are going to find things that better fit. They're not going to be in scramble mode like they were at the beginning of this season. They were in full-on scramble mode with Klay's injury and kind of a lot of other things because, I don't know, the world had ended.
Right.
And so people didn't know what was really going on. This team, I think, can compete with those two teams. Now, I don't know if those teams are going to have those same records next year,
right,
but they're good teams.
They're good teams.
And they're solid teams.
And you've got Denver coming back with Jamal Murray. It is a better Western Conference than the Warriors won finals in.
Yes.
It is a better Western Conference now, but there's a blueprint now, and I know
it's
that the
a
Warriors...
flatter Western Conference, too.
Absolutely. And the Warriors talk all season long about how difficult it has been to thread the needle. Well, what this last 20 games has shown us is, well, if it's so difficult to thread the needle, then stop threading the needle and just go compete for a championship. No need. This team can do stuff right now. The blueprint's out there. Dieter, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
My
As
pleasure.
Always, remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. And I'll get all of the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for listening.